This is Rabbi.
Naftali Herzbach.
Yes. When did you come to Lakewood?
I came in 1958, Wintersmart.
Where were you learning before
Pevedas.
That? Pevedas, in Williamsburg. Who was your Rebbe then?
My last Rebbe was Rav Dave Rifkin.
Uh huh. What prompted you to come here?
My uncle, Lotha Kahana, was a Magid Shir in Tarbadas.
Right.
So he recommended I go to Lakewood.
He recommended you come to Lakewood. So, about how old were you then?
I was 18 and a half.
Uh-huh.
I was young.
Okay. What was your introduction to Lakewood? Who did you take? Did you get a Fahar or what?
Rashiva Fahad me. Okay. I was taken to Rashiva's house in Borough Park.
Yeah.
I went to Rashiva's house in Borough Park.
Yeah. And what was that like?
Scary.
Okay, that was before, scary, but during... I mean,
well, it was like if I had me on a sugya, he told me to prepare a sugya in Marupa. Karen Ke'en Shigonav.
Say the name, I can't hear.
Karen Ke'en Shigonav.
Okay, yeah.
It's a very hard sugya in Marupa.
Were you learning that in Saksa?
I was not learning it then, but I had to come back to take the bechin. The first time I went,
uh-huh.
Second time I came, he told me to prepare. I came back again for Bechin and Ken Shigonav.
Yeah.
Most of the Bechin involved him telling me over his shir and Ken Shigonav.
Uh-huh.
I came out, wasn't asked anything.
He didn't ask you anything. But
come out, not anything.
The truth is,
in those years, if the Rashiva saw someone who was willing to come to learn, not go to college, that was a big yichus by him.
Uh-huh.
So it really didn't take much. To get into the yeshiva, there just weren't that many people who were interested in coming in.
Okay, at that time, I know Lou Bell was in Tarvadas at that time too, when going to college was almost like, when it goes without saying, you went to college.
Yeah, it was there. That was the
same. So how come you broke the mold? What made you break the mold?
I had some other chaveri who did the same, someone to Bishmash Elia, and we just weren't interested.
Uh-huh.
And also, the truth is, We were very mushba, myself and my chaverim, from Camp Aguda, where Rabbi Yaakov Tattelbaum was the Muradas.
Uh-huh.
And he had a big hashpah on myself and my chaverim. Now, we also had some very strong pirchei leaders who were very strong
like
as well.
Like who?
Iker, somebody named Rabbeinish Rosenbaum. Maya Rosenbaum is the old
Yeah.
He was very, very big mashpia.
Uh-huh.
Pirchei of Williamsburg. And I guess between him and Rabbi Yaakov Tattelbaum, even the Rashua really was not an advocate of college, even though it was happening, but he was someone who come at times mentioned against going there. So I guess those three people were
more influential.
Yeah.
Very good. And so you came to Lakewood, when was that? What Zman was that?
They were learning Kesuvos.
What time of the year?
I came after Sukkot.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's the beginning of the month.
Yeah, beginning of the winter.
They're wearing Sukkos.
Sukkos,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so who came with you at the time? Who was the
person? No, but that's nobody.
Nobody, you came by yourself.
I came all myself.
And who would you get introduced to here? Who would you get?
So in Lakewood, when I came to Lakewood, my close chaverim at that time when I came to Lakewood were Rebellia Bear.
Yeah.
He was in that Reb Shalom Schechter.
Uh-huh.
It was a fellow Reb Shlomo Rikeach.
Yeah.
I'm just in the Chabur that came. There was a fellow that was there before me named Pinchas Merling.
Yeah. Where is he now?
Reb Pinchas Merling right now is living in Manhattan. Somebody told me he's living alone. I don't think he ever married.
Oh.
You know him though?
What? What did you say?
Do you know him at all?
I remember somebody like that, but I don't remember clearly who he was. The name sounds very familiar, and I don't know why. Very familiar.
Subsequently, I think about a Zman later, or two Zman later, to see Yosef Burstein came.
Uh-huh.
He was also part of that Chabura.
Right.
That was the original, the Chabura then grew. Who else was there? And I come trying to think who else was there. Oh, yeah. Shane from Staten Island, that's got his first name.
Mm-hmm.
These were two old Talmidim originally from Meir Mintz.
Uh-huh.
In Lakewood, and they had just come, that man was this man earlier, to be full-time part of the Yeshiva.
So
we were the younger Chabura, the Reish Chabura, Rashiva gave him, Shmuel Feivelson was the Reish Chabura then, we sent Chaburas for us twice a week on the block.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what else did you experience in that beginning phase that you remember?
At the beginning I was just in awe of the Hasmada that was going on, and the Rashiva, who although I did not understand most of the shurim at the beginning.
Yeah.
I did get a lot from the shmuzin and a lot from seeing him and watching him and being with him and being part of the yeshiva. The yeshiva was there was nothing else in the yeshiva but learning. Mm-hmm. There was nothing else in the town but learning. Mm-hmm. There was no other minyan in town except for the shul. Mm-hmm. But the yeshiva was the town. That's it. Hakol Bakol Mikra. The small yeshiva was very small then.
Right.
Maybe 75 bachim. Mm-hmm. Maybe 20 in Goliath. I think Baruch, that was the numbers then.
No, you say, how long did it take you to get used to the shiurim?
I mean, the day that we drove him, because there was this cycle, who drove the shiva days when he was in New York.
Yeah.
During that time, he had stopped already taking the train to Manhattan. They used to send the bacher in with the yeshiva car. At that time, the yeshiva bought a car. The yeshiva shouldn't have to be shuttling through the subways, as he did most of the time until then.
Mm-hmm.
The bacher was assigned a day to drive, sometimes from Lakewood to New York, sometimes to drive him in New York. Driving him involved picking him up early in the morning, taking him to Manhattan, to the office, where he's spent a good part of the day, and then bringing him back in the evening, or taking him wherever else he had to go. In those days, he had the yeshiva and watched him mamish mi boikad erev.
You were a driver?
I was part of the cycle of drivers. Every bacher had, it was rotation.
Uh-huh.
We were assigned certain days.
Who managed the assignment?
The mamuna at that time who managed it when it was Reb Levi Dicker.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Didn't come out that often. But a few times, as a man, you were assigned to... eventually, Rashid got a driver later. But the first, probably 2 years I was there, so the Bochum drove him. With Aseda, who was supposed to drive him. But then, eventually, somebody, Stefanski, I don't remember his first name, became his regular driver. His regular Mishamish. That was the last couple of years. I don't want to be taped on that. They used to call him Butch.
Oh, okay. Yes. I think his name is Amram.
Basically.
Yeah.
But he eventually, I don't remember exactly what the kufi took over, but until that time, the driving, the day you spent with the Rashiv was a half a day, just watching him from morning till night. I mean,
he described him?
Just the way he ran Klal Yisrael while he said, "Lukum the Rambam and the Gemara." I would take him to the office, and he would sit in the office, and as the secretary would tell him how much came in this envelope and that envelope, he would be dictating simultaneously a letter to the secretary, the exact title the receipt should read, because he was sending...
Who was the secretary?
I don't remember. Rav Asher Katz ran the office, but there was a secretary there who typed his letters in Lashon Kodesh to the recipients, to the people how to get receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say exactly what nusach should be in each letter to the, I imagine, among the, who knows how many kosher people are sending money. Mm-hmm. He would send back, he'd be dictating the letter, while at the same time, basically looking at his Gemara. He always had a Gemara, a Rambam, Mishnah Berurah with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shilas would come in. I once was there when he got a Shilas from a woman who had a problem, was being evicted from a house in Manhattan, and she was, had me tracked down, the landlord, the owner of the landlord, through Irving Buman, find out who owned it, and he was a mishtadl that she shouldn't be evicted.
Uh-huh.
He almost got involved in everybody's Indian.
Uh-huh. He was like personally involved?
In that particular Indian, because he knew who this woman was, I don't remember the story.
Uh-huh.
But whenever he got, as a chuntah genommen to do something, he made sure he followed it through. I mean, I don't know if he was known for this. He wasn't like a Moshe would be more involved with people or community, but people would readily more go over to him.
Uh-huh.
But when the Rashiva had to do something for somebody, he was it was the gnome like anything. But the way he was busy with fundraising, that's really what was in the spoils design.
Yeah.
He was busy fundraising from the $5 donation to the $500.
He would call people personally himself.
He would call them, he would thank them, he would send them letters. He was very, very involved. That's what he did basically in New York. He was in the office. And he also managed the accounts from the, I was once called by Reb Nosson. I lived in the same block as Reb Nosson in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
This was Erev Pesach.
Yeah, Hooper Street.
Yeah, Hooper Street. Yeah. Reb Nosson calls me up. She was not feeling well. She would like to have a bacha maybe in the house with him. Whatever, to be mishamish, whatever I have to be. I took a train to Borough Park. But she was lying on not in his bedroom, but in another room, like on a high-rise of bed.
Yeah.
The Rambam was up against the wall.
Yeah.
He was lying in bed.
Yeah.
He was on the phone with the office, dictating numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Then place Epler, whatever Tyson, and put it in, and he would shoot off the number of the account. Transfer, like, take this amount of money.
All by heart.
Transferring the funding, you know, he had in mind which accounts had to be covered and where money had to go. I guess they told him what came in that day. He would tell him, take this account, put that in account, this money, put that in account, this money, put that. At the same time, he was looking at the Rambam.
The person he spoke was Usher Katz?
I don't know who he spoke to. I don't know who was on the other side of the phone, but it was someone in the office.
Uh-huh. Who else was in the office at that time?
I don't know who was in the office. I know the Meshulach, who went out to me, she was labeled Sibiyar.
Yeah.
I guess he was also in the office also, but I guess both of them were in the office.
And where was he located, okay?
Manhattan.
Like Beacon Street.
I don't remember where. All I know is in the morning on the way to the office, he would always stop off in Irving Bunim's business.
Uh-huh. And also down there.
Right around the corner from the office.
Uh-huh.
And he would stop off there, and they would discuss whatever had to be discussed. I remember Irving Bunim always had a bag with a couple of Danishes for the driver, with the Reshiva.
Uh-huh.
He always had that prepared.
Uh-huh.
Then after he stopped over from Bunim, he used to say, "Gary, I'm a Mr. Bunim." And one thing he would tell us when we were driving, if we ever got a little bit, trying to get aggressive, he would tap you on the hand. He was very nervous when you drove. He would tap you on the hand, and he would say, "Nishma can taxi or nishma can truck."
What is he can
tell? Don't start up with a taxi or a truck.
Uh-huh.
He would say, "Nishma can taxi, nishma can truck."
Okay.
And he also knew directions unbelievably.
He knew directions.
He was able to get out of any traffic jam.
He knew the map.
He knew the map. He knew that cold.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. I've heard that before. Let's see what else. Any other incidents that you remember during the trip?
I remember eating supper by him and him being mafsik during supper to go out to say Kishma with the Schwarzman kids.
With who?
Schwarzman kids lived in his house in Borough Park.
Uh-huh, right.
He would go out and say Krishna with them.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he probably stayed there also. On the way home from New York, he would also stop at Epshnei's house, usually give the kids something. That's we would drop them off at Epshnei, and then eventually...
Yeah,
In Lakewood, on the way back, that was the first stop.
Uh-huh.
They told me that even when he used to go by bus, he used to stop off at Epshnei on the way back.
Uh-huh. Consistent.
Reb Schneier was a mama someplace. I don't know exactly where.
Okay.
What else do I remember? I remember the bread was hard and old. That's all I remember.
Where did you get the bread?
I don't remember. They say from Schick's Bakery. They say Reb Schneier's White House was Schick's Bakery. How do I know that? Because Schick's Bakery, many years, didn't have Ashkoch, and they were pressured to take Ashkoch years later. And the guy used to say, "Must say Zerbar and Zerbis and like Cliff and Chalas draw."
Okay.
I also know that I have a cousin named Rabbi Yisachar Hasenfeld.
Hasenfeld?
Yeah.
He learned there?
No, he didn't learn there. He was a cousin of mine. He came as a bacha from Zeres HaPleita. Very, very much clear from business. And he met the Rashiva in Fleischmann's.
Yeah.
And he had a very good head, and the Rashiva, he used to learn with him, but he used to learn with him a little bit. Because the Rishonim come out that way, he didn't have two chairs the same. The Mash didn't have two chairs the same around his dining room table. And the Shumayfen.
Where is this housing for him now?
He lives in Borough Park.
Maybe I could talk to him too.
He's an older person already. It's his business called Hasenfeld. It's not Lakewood office knows who he is.
What's his first name?
Yisachar.
That's how he's listed?
I don't know how he's listed. Uh-huh. I don't know if you can reach him. His business in Manhattan is Hasenfeld and Stein. And the Lakewood office definitely knows about how to get hold of him. Because he was one of the Shiva guests of honor, I think. He was very close to a Shiva. As a Balabar.
Yeah, but he learned with Rashiva, he must have something to say.
Rashiva learned a little bit with him. In the summers, a little bit, you know, but he tried to schnitz a lot.
He tried to what?
He's trying to help the Yeshiva a lot.
Yeah.
And he helped very much from the Yeshiva.
Yeah, that's important. Okay, any other experiences that you remember?
I just remember asking, times I go, and they always ask a Shalis, so. The Rashiva never publicized any of his chumris or any of his personal things that he did. He always was very, very, the way he did things very betzin, atzma leches. So I once went to ask him a shayla, and he had just washed.
Yeah.
And I see he's not answering, he's eating. And then he points to me with a smile, as if to excuse himself. He says, under the zongman's on the schmapsig sein bis master kazayas.
Bis was?
Bis master ganze kazayas.
Uh-huh.
So he did it. Never, publicized that he's doing it. No, but then I was standing there, and I was waiting to answer Shalos. See, like, he unshouldered himself, so he made me wait. He's saying that, under the zongman's on the schmapsig sein bis master ganze
kazayas.
I also know how careful he was with hug him, even though something just not minig yeshiva.
Yeah.
The first month I was in yeshiva, first kiddush levana.
Yeah.
My minig was to wait seven shleimim. I come from a kiddush background.
Right.
Yeshiva waits 3 days for the toilet for kiddush levana. Once the Shabbos, the other went out to kiddush levana.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't seven shleimim, so I stopped the yeshiva on the way out. And I told him that my minig is to wait seven shleimim. He says, no, Chassid, you have to wait for your minig. I might have to do bichidus. I might have to do it not with big day Shabbos. He said, nein. That's how you make it. That was a pshat halacha that he gave me. But not everyone would have done that.
I guess after as much as possible.
My wife is a
Wilhelm Enikel. Can you speak louder?
My wife is an Enikel of Rabbi Yama Wilhelm.
Yeah, okay.
So when I spoke my Shidduch, I was told. When
the Chayim of Wilhelm?
Yeah.
Okay.
The father
of
Shidduch.
Uh-huh.
When I spoke to Shidduch, so I was told that Rabbi Shabbat Feidel Ben Lovitz had different mahalach. Should the person stay by learning after the chasana? So I was a little bit apprehensive, you know.
So what was qualified with you?
He was really very much toward Elach HaBalabatim's Mahalach. There was no Kerl in Terebidas then.
Yeah, right.
So I was a little apprehensive with how that would stem in the Mishpacha. My friend was a very close Talmud of Rosh Hashanah Feigl Mendelovitz. So I went to Shiva to ask about, should I go into the Shidduch?
Yeah.
So he told me, Mamash, but I got to the Kifis. I've shagged a final of Hank Gven, the Halton.
The
young America was in under America. They weren't ready for this yet.
That's a beautiful thing.
That was one thing that, then there was another thing which while I was in the house, saw people pulling in shilas all the time.
Yeah.
And somebody obviously called in with a geya to Sman Shabbos, how long you should wait so much Shabbos.
Yeah.
I only picked this up when the Rashi was got up and yelled, Mamash Mukalatakim. He says, Nay, nay, nay. Nishnotan face mine, I'm ain't a Babalabat, I'm ain't a Bnei Taira. There ain't Taira. And then he started giving out the Rebbe. The Thomas, he got Halacha. He Mamash went into Halacha, boom, boom, boom.
So he said they should keep her Rebbe in the Thomas?
Yeah, very fast.
Did they send it to him or Rebbe in the Thomas? He kept 72 minutes or more?
Yeah, sure.
Or longer?
Yeshiva Davamara by 72. What he personally did, I don't know. Yeshiva always Davamara. But Shabbos.
Right.
Always that. What we personally did, basic mission.
Because now some people have a, even on Friday night, people have a 72 minute.
I know.
Just wonder what he did.
No, Friday night he done with Yeshiva. 50 minutes
is my
requirement.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what are you doing now?
I'm now Yeshiva Katana of Queens.
And what did you do before that?
I was for 3 years Manal Lakewood Seder.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What year was that?
He made sure that I showed him a few rings. He said, like, a killer, he didn't want one of any scratches in his Yeah. I showed him a few choices. He picked the one after me.
Uh-huh.
But there was a Zaycha from the Masada that I made. But I don't remember. I wasn't on the, among the Baruch who went out, who stayed in the hospital. Again, I was younger than this.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how old were you?
I was probably from the youngest of the Talmidim, of, you know,
maybe something like in the long, out, schmoozer, things they did, or...
Maybe
they
just had schmoozing, and we just, I mean, like fire.
Uh-huh.
Fire did the schmoozing. The schmooze before Yom Kippur was, before Kol Nidrei, I mean, before Manila, was short schmooze with Mamish.
What did he concentrate on? Okay, that's very good. What?
The truth is, I'm not from the real Talmidim.
You're not from the real Talmidim,
I was there, I really can't say I was Talmud, because, you know, Talmud is someone who's all those, yeah, I could be a Talmud based on what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, but someone who's, who changes your life, and this mashpia on you, that's in the Rabbi Muvok. I'm talking about the Talmidim who, like, Mamash sat with him by his table, Shabbos, like, Chaim Epstein,
yeah. Where's this from, Eisenberg, you know?
Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Eisenberg. Was he doing Cleveland, Mr. Eisenberg?
He
He's still here, huh? Uh-huh. Okay.
You have to speak to
Michelle
Hirsch.
Yes, okay. I used to speak to him, but I can't. He doesn't, he's not interested.
The Moshe Heinemann.
Yeah, he spoke well, yeah. He spoke at very long.
He's very close to Rashid. He would ask Rashid anything.
Yeah, he was very, very good. He spoke in a lot of details.
The bank of ship wouldn't talk to you.
I never got to him. It's hard to get to these people.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to talk.
Yeah, like me and Naifi, I really don't belong in that group.
Like, I'm telling you, I have over 160 people from the whole spectrum. And I'm not choosy.
What I know is the decision he made was Layudma changed everybody's life. Being in this Dalai Lama has changed everybody's life. Watching him give the shmooze, watching him give the shia.
Okay, thank you very much. Is somebody trying to get on your line?
Huh?
Well, yeah, noise in the background.
No, nobody's in the line.
Uh-huh.
I was once in Yeshiva when Rabbi Simchel Zissel Brody of Chevron came in the middle of the Chabal Shurim.
Yeah.
And the Chabal Shurim were known as Maroch on top of Maroch on top of Maroch on top of Maroch, the Shaykh.
Yeah.
And he came, and he was a Sharfa, and he enjoyed getting to Rashiva, like, getting him excited.
Yeah.
And asking in, even though those years we didn't ask in anymore, because they said it wasn't good for them. But he asked in, I still remember the Rashiva mom was blasting him, protecting that Shia. This Shaykh.
Okay.
But at the same time, his Farmkeit, any time he went and spoke to him, anytime he went and asked him anything.
He's
machshiv every bentayer.
What?
He's machshiv every
bentayer. Do you remember anything that exemplified that?
That's it. It wasn't Barsher Husham. It was Barsher, whatever this book is,
Okay, I think thank you very much for your time. Honestly,